For some of us here tonight, this is a favor moment. The Father has favor for you that He has stored up for such a long time. But I just sense Him say it's time to step in. Sometimes that just looks like saying yes. Sometimes His favor doesn't sit so well with us. But it's true humility to say yes when He speaks. We say yes. We say yes. This invest and invite thing really caught my heart, and I think I was so involved in church and my children were little, and it was just, I didn't know anybody outside of church, not really. So I started to ask the Lord, where are the people I can connect with? And our eldest daughter had just started school, and the way that it worked in this particular school was that you had to go stand inside the school, outside the in the corridor where the classroom was, and then you got to pick your kids up. So I started just stalking people, basically. Anybody that I saw who looked remotely friendly, I'd sidle up to them and chat to them and invite them for coffee. And not too many takers. And then one lady said she would love to go for coffee. So we did. And then every time we were in that corridor together, we'd chat, and we'd chat to other people as well. And after a little while, we started to do that a lot. We started to meet up for coffee quite a lot. She was not remotely interested in church. She really wasn't. She had grown up in a Catholic background. Her husband had grown up in a Protestant background, and church had not been particularly kind to them. Northern Ireland, that's a wee bit of a, used to be a bit of a big deal. And so they were just like, we are not interested in God. But that was totally fine. I said, I'm not going to pester you about that. But she would ask me what was going on in my life, and it's all Jesus. So I'd tell her that I'd had a dream, and then the Lord would often speak to me like that, and how that happened, that I'd met that person or whatever it was, or prayed for them and something happened, and she'd just be, this is amazing to me. And then we'd chat about Weight Watchers, because we used to go to Weight Watchers together, whatever it was, the kids, everything, just normal life. So I didn't back off the Lord, but I didn't try and shove Him down her throat either. I'd invited her to church probably four-ish times across those years, and each time it was no. And at one point I just said, look, her name's Amanda. Amanda, I'm not going to invite you to church anymore. I just love you. And if you're happy me still chatting about Jesus from time to time, I'm not going to pester you about this. So that was fine. We were friends for about 7 or 8 years. It was quite a long time. She would always ask me spiritual questions, though, if things had come up to her. And that was really wonderful. Like if something strange had happened in her home or something, she'd be like, Catherine, you would know about this. So that was wonderful. She was definitely getting more open. Coming up to Easter Sunday, probably about 5 years ago, maybe, the Lord spoke to me in a dream again, which He does an awful lot. And in the dream, He spoke to me and said, you need to invite your school friends again. I had a wee posse by this time. I had a few friends that we were all hanging out together, and it was great. You know the way you wake up in the morning and you realize that was the Lord and this could ruin everything? I've spent years now. And I thought, okay, I have to do this. I love Jesus. So in good bold fashion, I texted them. I thought, I'm not phoning them. I texted them, hey, Easter Sunday's coming up. Would you like to come to church? If you'd like to come, I'll meet you in Starbucks beforehand and we can go together. Send. And then I hid in the toilet for quite some time. I was terrified. I really thought this is the end of years of cultivating these friendships. And two of those friends got back to me, and Amanda was one of them. And Amanda said, "I'd love to come. Can I bring my husband and our children and my mother-in-law?" And I was like, "Yes, of course you can." And she came, and she sat through the service, and she just bawled like a baby. She was like, "I don't even, what is happening to me? Is this like a nervous breakdown or something?" And I was like, "No, this is the presence of Jesus." And she said, "But I don't believe." I told her it didn't matter one little bit. That if this was a place that she wanted to come, even though she didn't believe she could, she said she'd love to come. And she came for several months. Every so often she'd say to me, is it okay that I don't believe? I just can't stay away though. I feel better and I don't know why. And I was like, of course you can. So she would come along and we would talk more and more about Jesus. And it was less than a year later she gave her heart to Jesus. And what was beautiful was all three of her children did too. And then her husband, the day that she was baptized, she wanted to get baptized. And it's a very dangerous thing to ask me to baptize you in the Atlantic because I tend to get swept away. It has happened before in the name of the Father. But anyway, I'm too short. But I did. I warned her that this could happen and said, yes, I would happily baptize her. And Alan was there too. And we'd said to Peter, her husband, you should come in. You should come into the water as well and be there, part of that baptism. And he was just so moved that we would include him. I think he, in his experience of church before, it had been very black and white. And this is what it has to be. And we were like, Peter, you don't have to have faith in this moment. You're her husband. Just come, we'll take care of the spiritual side of things. You should be there because you belong to her and she belongs to you. And as she came out of the water, Alan locked eyes with Peter and he just welled up. And from that moment, something changed. And he said, you know, I think I might like to start coming along too. He'd come that very first Sunday, but he hadn't come since. And he started to come to church too. And it was only a matter of months later. In fact, it was another Easter Sunday. And he came to both services, which is kind of funny. I was leading worship. And at the end, I was playing a little bit. And I invited people to faith. And he shot his arm in the air. At the end of the second service, he said later that he chickened out in the first service. And he didn't want to miss out. He knew this was his day. Well, what was beautiful, that was all happening. Meanwhile, before they even knew Jesus, Amanda was starting to invite all her friends because she felt so much better coming to church. And so Rachel and Jeff, friends of hers from primary school, from elementary school, they started to come along and they got saved like 2 weeks or something into process and they're still going really strong. Then their daughter, Emma, had just started high school, well, junior high actually, and she had been chatting to her friends about Jesus and one of them agreed to come to church. And so Theola came to church and her mum and dad wanted to check out this slightly dodgy Vineyard church. And they just got ravished by the love of Jesus. And as a whole family, they came to faith as well. And then as a result of that, another friend who we were mutual friends as well from school, they were like, something's very different about you too. I think I'd like to try maybe and come along. And Stuart and his family came to church and Stuart gave his heart to Jesus too. And that just kept happening. And one Easter Sunday, not that terribly long ago, or just before Easter Sunday in the run-up, we got each person involved in that particular story. We just wanted to show what it looks like when you just take that bold step and say, hey, do you want to be friends? And so I went up on the stage and told the story about Amanda, and she came onto the stage and she told the story about Peter, and Peter came up and their three kids. And then they told the story about Theola and her mum and dad, and they all came up and sat on the stage until there were about 15 or 20 people sitting on the stage. And you realize that one yes makes a lifetime multiplied again and again of difference. And so even though it can feel terrifying and you think you're going to ruin everything, it's really, really worth it.